Yes, that line forms on the right, babe.
Ha!
Not that Mackie.
It's Friday.
Back in town.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I got for 3 hours there. We'll get the words out, I promise. I got you for the next 3 hours till 5 a.m. on this Football Friday. We made it to the weekend. Still recovering from losses, the election. We need the weekend, baby. And we got a good Thursday night football game to start off week 10. We'll get to everything else at 888-808-1019. We'll get to, oh my God, wait a minute. Steve Cohen's going to meet with Juan Soto? No way. We'll get to that in a second as well. We'll get to the Giants and Jets in a little bit. But let's start with this Thursday night game as they gave us an incredible game here. Bengals against Ravens, 35-34. It comes down to a two-point conversion at the end of the game. And there's a bunch of things to talk about. One, just the game overall and watching these two teams, watching these two quarterbacks, right? And as we talk, and we'll try and tie this locally because that's what we do. And we talk about the quarterback situation. And I remember, was it Eddie and Rockland or someone else trying to tell me? Ernest, right. Ernest from somewhere. Ernest, you know, Ernest went to jail. Ernest went to camp. Whatever, wherever Ernest was calling from that day, Ernest tried to compare Daniel Jones and Joe Burrow because the Bengals have lost some games recently. Yeah, it was almost exactly like watching Daniel Jones last night. It was almost exactly the same thing. But Chris, he has Ja'Marr Chase. Yes, Ja'Marr Chase is an incredible player. And here's the first thing for this Ravens team before we get into the different plays of this game. And this Ravens team. And I was talking with Fleeks, he made a good point. You know, this Ravens team that's now, we all believe, one of the best teams in the NFL, one of the best teams in this conference, and very likely to win this division. Lamar Jackson is an incredible talent, and he could be winning back-to-back MVPs. That's how good he is. And some of the plays in this game, especially that scramble that gets him down to the one, was an incredible play. I mean, the guy is just immensely talented. He's throwing the ball better than ever. He's more accurate than ever. He is a force, along with Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and the other great players in this league, Allen. He is just an absolute force. But this Ravens team, for a couple of different things, like one, they have no shows in games. And I know it's funny to say that off of a win where they come from behind, but they're a fumble away from Brown. As I'm watching the highlight right now, it is 21-7 in this game. They give the ball back to the Bengals. The Bengals are driving, and in that point of the game, like 7 minutes left in the third quarter, the Bengals are doing whatever they want. And they're about to go down the field and at least make a drive, it get three, put it in the end zone, take time off the clock, whatever. And it just felt like the Ravens, who have given up games with leads to the Raiders, you know, yeah, they were close against Kansas City at the start of the year, but there are sometimes this Ravens team, you just wonder what's going through their mind halfway through, let alone the defensive backfield, who without Higgins in this game allowed Ja'Marr Chase to rattle off, what was it, 264 yards of offense on 11 receptions and 3 touchdowns. How does this defense, this Ravens defense, allow Ja'Marr Chase to do that to them when you know he is their only real, real threat in the passing game without Higgins? Like, you cannot allow that. And even after they get back into this game, after the fumble, that completely changed. I'm telling you right now, this game is a blowout if that fumble doesn't happen. This game is on its way to the Bengals, who are desperate for a victory against a Ravens team that, for whatever reason, has these games where they don't show up. And that momentum, that short field, getting back into the game with that touchdown to make it 21-14, completely changed the feel of this game. Completely changed it. And from that moment on, it's a shootout. And Lamar Jackson and the Ravens were one play better. But as you look at what we expect to be the team, and believe me, I'm starting to get there. You know how I hate Tom Brady and how much I hated New England eventually at the end. And they become the enemy of the NFL, and you want to see who could pick off, you know, Belichick and Brady. And it's starting to get to that point. I don't dislike them as much. I still like Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid is so much more a lovable character than Bill Belichick is. And so I don't know if I hate the Kansas City Chiefs as much as I hate the end of that New England era. But I still play the game of who's going to pick them off. As they're undefeated, as they're getting their things, their bearings together, as Kelce looks back to being one of the top tight ends in the league after a miserable start, after they've added Hopkins here, who they still don't go deep in the down the field very much, but he's got one of the best hands in the league, bar none. He's going to help that team immensely. We know how good they are defensively. Chris Jones, you know, the obviously the coaching. Like, who's going to pick off the Kansas City Chiefs? And year in and year out, it's Buffalo, it's Baltimore, right? That's where we go. And as I look at this Ravens team, as impressive as a win as this was, to come from behind down 21-7, I still question this defensive backfield, and I still question the ability of having games where they lay the egg. And I'm telling you, if it wasn't for Brown putting the ball on the ground and having it ripped out of his hands by Humphreys, this is a game that is about to go the other way. But instead, they get that fumble. They put it in the end zone. Lamar Jackson, I'm watching the highlight now, makes an incredible scramble on the sidelines and figures out a way to get to the one. And once this team gets to the one, it might not be the Eagles' tush-push, but Derrick Henry at the goal line is about as good as you get an opportunity to score a touchdown as there is in this league. And maybe we'll see McCaffrey come back this week, and that's a, you know, that's another guaranteed touchdown. But like this Ravens team, as you look at it, as you're going to try and beat the Kansas City Chiefs, does have some flaws, but they are as good as anyone. And Lamar Jackson in this game, as they continue to make big play after big play, they get the touchdown down the sidelines. They just make just enough plays. And the Bengals and where they are, it's amazing that they are where they are. And as we do tie this locally to the New York Jets, we have an opportunity now, if they can go out on Sunday and start to take care of business and turn this season around. And if this offense can find itself and they go out there and beat a very up and down Arizona Cardinals team, there is an opportunity for this Jet team to make hay. And this would have been a very big win for the Cincinnati Bengals to go into Baltimore, take that game, get their fifth win. Now you're competing with another team legitimately tough to catch inside this wild card chase. Now, I still think they're there. I still think this team is very talented. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, if T. Higgins gets healthy, they are still one of the more dynamic offenses in the league, and Burrow's playing like an MVP, and at any moment, they could turn it on and go on an unbelievable run. But this was an enormous, enormous loss for the New York Jets and anybody else inside the AFC who's looking to keep the Bengals down, because what you saw in this game, the ability of Joe Burrow to throw under pressure, the ability of Joe Burrow to make the big play to Ja'Marr Chase, even when everyone's expecting it. That first big touchdown pass where he has, you know, him cutting across the middle and he hits him perfectly in stride off of really what seemed like a broken play. It took so long to in between defenders, hit him perfectly in stride as he's running to his right, throwing it back a little bit across his body to the middle of the field. I mean, he's incredible right now, playing the best football of his career. They mentioned that point, I don't know, 25 times over the first quarter of this game. But I mean, to watch him play, to watch Lamar Jackson play, you recognize, as they're both obviously the number one overall pick and the last pick of the first round in the NFL draft, how important it is to get a freaking quarterback. And to watch these two teams go down and score how many touchdowns in the fourth quarter, for crying out loud, and then it comes down to a two-point conversion. And let me say this, as we've had a lot of controversy around two-point conversions here over the last few weeks, certainly with the Giants and you know, that whole down 14 and when you go for two has been a talking point inside the NFL that really came to a head here in New York last week. But as we talk about two-point conversions and going for the win, I guess I'm hearing some blowback on it, and I'm seeing some things on social media. People, if you think that the Bengals made a mistake going for two at the end of this game, you're absolutely nuts. I mean, did you see how that game was being played at the end of it? Like, if you had any faith Like, if you're going to leave that up to a coin toss, if you're going to actually have an opportunity to put that ball in Lamar Jackson's hands and give him an opportunity to beat you, you're crazy. I'd take my chances making a two-point conversion, which, by the way, and the other controversy of this game is you could argue there are two penalties on that play. A defensive hold, which I understand, last play of the game, two-point conversion, game on the line, you know, the winner of that play wins the game. I have no problem holding the flag for that kind of defensive hold, even though I would argue that it was a hold. In that spot, the nature of that penalty, I have no problem holding the flag. But I do have a problem with the quarterback getting his face guard grabbed. Like, we've seen this over and over again. And yes, we understand in the NFL it's a bit ticky-tacky. We understand at least once, you know, at least two, three times a week in the NFL, we leave a game scratching our heads at what is the defender supposed to do when it comes to the quarterback. But what you can't do is hit him in the head or hit him in the face mask. And on that two-point conversion, it is clear as day that Joe Burrow is hit in the face mask. And that's a penalty that you have to call inside the NFL. You just have to call that play. They had to be given another opportunity. But if you think that you're better off kicking that extra point, playing this thing through, because I'm telling you right now, there is no way in hell the Cincinnati Bengals are stopping Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. No way. I'm taking my best unit, my offense. And we see this throughout the NFL. And, you know, coaches who don't do it, we talked about Todd Bowles last week against the Kansas City Chiefs. When you're going against Patrick Mahomes, when you're on the road, when you're trying to win a football game and your best unit is the offense. Forget Baker Mayfield. You got Joe Burrow and this offense that has gone up and down the field, put up a ton of points on this Baltimore team. You need to make one play to beat the Ravens in their building when you, what, are now 10-1 against them in the last 11 games? I'm not playing this out. I'm going to win this game. That is winning football. That is winning coaching. Todd Bowles played losing football and losing coaching. That's a winning play. You want to win in the NFL? That is what you do. You go for the jugular right there. You do not play this down the line with the most dynamic quarterback in the league, arguably. And right now, the odds-on favorite to be back-to-back NFL MVP. You do not, under any circumstance, play it down the line where he could touch the ball again. I am winning the game right now. But it was an excellent game to start our Week 10 here in a season that's going to... The next game we play is the Giants in Germany against the Carolina Panthers. It's not going to look anything like this, namely because of the quarterback. And again, like, this is what you're looking for. Like, how long are the Ravens going to be good? Right? The defense changes. They lose Mike McDonald, who's that, you know, they lose when they get rid of McMartindale. They bring in a defensive guru. They lose him. You lose different players. Andrews starts the year, their big tight end weapon. He's awful. They find Isaiah Likely. Like, it doesn't matter. They have the great player who elevates this franchise year in, year out. Yes, they have games where they lay eggs, and it's puzzling for one of the better teams in the NFL, especially when you're talking about who's going to beat Kansas City. Kansas City might not beat anybody by more than 6 points, but they do not lay eggs the way you have seen sometimes this Ravens team lay eggs. But the fact of the matter is, when you get the quarterback, when you have Lamar Jackson, when you have Joe Burrow, right now, yes, that defense for the Bengals is down. They allow big play after big play. They got off to a terrible start this year. They have traditionally, even under Joe Burrow, gotten off to poor starts. But you watch him play the game. You watch Lamar Jackson play the game. These teams are in the mix to be playoff and Super Bowl caliber teams every single year. That's what I want for the New York Giants. You want to wonder, as we head into Germany, and I scream and I scream and I scream about losing this game and about getting the young quarterback and about changing the franchise. This is why the Bengals, although they made the playoffs for a bunch of years in a row, like, the Bengals have been a losing franchise forever. They are completely different with Joe Burrow under center. Completely different. The Ravens, year in and year out, the weapons may change, the offensive line may change, the defensive coordinator, a lot of things may change. If you have that young superstar quarterback, if you have the man, you win. You win. And that's why I want the Giants to lose, because Daniel Jones is not that. And when you realize that, and you get to a point in the season when your season is dead and you've already paid him a contract that you can get out of, and you recognize what it's been year in and year out and the inability to make plays like this, the inability to get the ball down the field. I know Zay Flowers is a player, but I mean, who's Lamar Jackson? I mean, and Andrews is a good player, but he's not doing it because he's got immense weapons around him. He's the weapon. He changes it. What's happening in Washington right now? You watch these games, you watch the quarterbacks play. That's football. When's the last time? Like, honestly, and I know the Jets have been down with Aaron Rodgers too, but when's the last time you turned on a Giant game and it looked like that? When is the last time you saw the Giants playing primetime on a Thursday night, a Monday night, a Sunday night? You got to turn it on and you looked at that and you saw the quality of football that you saw last night, Bengals-Ravens. When is the last time you watched a Giant game that looked like that? Never. Ever. And then for you Jet fans, that is a positive, positive thing right now, because I think Joe Burrow and this Bengals team is dangerous. That is a much-needed loss, as you're going to be, hopefully, if you could take care of business against Arizona, and we'll get into that, obviously, 888-808-1019. We'll get into the breakdown, what they need to do to beat this very streaky but dangerous Arizona Cardinals team and continue what they started in the second half against the Texans and hopefully begin a path back into the hunt of the AFC playoff picture. That is a big victory for the Ravens, for a New York Jet fan, for a Houston Texan fan, for any kind of team that is in the mix in the AFC playoff picture, because watch that Bengals team and tell me they're not freaking dangerous. And to have them, you know, a game where they're up 21-7 and driving against the Ravens, because if they win this game, they're going to the postseason. You can mark my words. They're 21-7 up in this game driving on their way to making a statement in Baltimore and getting their season completely back on track to go along with Pittsburgh, who I think is playing a winnable game this week, despite being underdogs. And that division and the rest of the AFC just caught a break with the way the end of that game panned out. And for the New York Jets, this is an opportunity. Take it. The AFC picture is still wide open. Yes, you have to go on a run, but it starts in Arizona 4 o'clock on Sunday. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the break. We'll get to Juan Soto. I know everybody wants to talk about Juan Soto. And somebody actually said it. Somebody came out in defense of the Yankee fundamental. And no, it's not me, the Yankee shill. Somebody else. And I can't wait for you to hear it. So we'll get to that. We'll get to Juan Soto, who's going to meet with Scott Boras. Who's going to meet with Steve Cohen. Amazing. Who would have thunk it? Oh, he's the first. Well, that means everything now, doesn't it? 888-808-1019. Quick break. All of that will give you picks on this Football Friday as we lead you into a weekend that we all needed. As week 10 of the NFL, baseball's officially over. The Knicks are losing frustrating games. The Rangers are getting blown out by the Buffalo Sabres. And Juan Soto is making us all wait with pins and needles.